Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The state of Pennsylvania has a problem. Who is really in control of the deer? Might seem like a strange concern, but you see, initially the Game Commission was in charge of all the deer in the state. That's a state that has a lot of trees, and I assume a lot of deer go with that.
But apparently, along the way somewhere, people started raising deer on farms and keeping them confined. And so the lawmakers, in their infinite wisdom, decided that they should further define who was in control of which group of deer. And so it was the Game Commission who was placed in charge of those deer who were out in the wild. And it was the Department of Agriculture that was in charge of the deer that were on farms behind fences. Well, that sounds like a pretty simple solution to a problem, if there was a problem. But you see, the problem is that some of those deer who were in a fence escaped. And now those deer who were controlled by the Department of Agriculture were suddenly back out in the forest where the deer were supposed to be controlled by the Game Commission. And so the problem then really was there is a disease that apparently was carried by those deer who were held on farms, and they were in turn spreading that disease to those deer who were out in the forest and wild. And so it became suddenly important to who was really in control of those deer anyway. We humans tend to worry about who is in control. We think about who really is in control of our lives. So let me ask you, who's really in control of your life? As I look back on my life, I kind of see some chapters of variable lengths. There was that period of time when I lived at home with my parents. That would have been a fairly long chapter in my life. Then there's a couple of chapters in my life when I attended school, and a longer chapter in my life when I was in the Navy, and another chapter when I was in practice in Central Oregon. And then there was that difficult time in the late 90s when I wasn't in practice and struggled pretty hard with a lot of things. But then I came to Corvallis, and that started a whole nother chapter in my life, which closed a couple of years ago. And the current chapter in my life has been here at Emmanuel. For most of those chapters in my life, I kind of had that sense that I was in control. But if I were really in control, would I not have retired from the Navy as a captain or an admiral? Why didn't I make so much money that I could retire at 50. If I was in control, why did I get delusioned with practice? And why was that chapter in the late 90s so difficult anyway? In the readings for today, we have stories of two people who thought they were in control as well. The first is Peter, impetuous and denying and foolish and buffoonish Peter. He's the one who said the night before the crucifixion to Jesus, "Even if I have to die, I will never disown you." And yet before the sun rose, he had denied Jesus three times. And today we read of him fishing all night and not being able to catch anything until Jesus tells him to put his nets down on the other side of the boat. Peter was clearly not in control of his life either. And the other person that we read about today is the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, he describes himself as the Hebrew of Hebrews, as a Pharisee, one who strictly followed the law, one who persecuted the church. And he considered himself, according to the law, to be blameless. He thought he was in control. He thought he was doing God's will. But on the road to Damascus that day, he finds out differently. He's suddenly blinded by a light and had to be led around by the hands by others. And even worse yet, he had to have hands laid on by one of those Christians that he'd been persecuting so that he might once again be able to see. His life changed 180 degrees from where he had expected to go, from where he thought he was controlling it to be. Paul was not in control of his life either. Life doesn't always unfold as we have planned it. Expectant parents don't plan for their babies to have birth defects or handicaps. Accidents that leave our loved ones paralyzed are not part of our plan for their future. Loved ones living alternate lifestyles are not that happily ever after sort of life that we might have envisioned for them. So if you are not in control, and I am not in control, and the state of Pennsylvania is not in control, who is? In the reading from Revelation today, John gets a glimpse of heaven. Jesus says, "Look through this door." And there he sees God sitting on his throne with a scroll in his right hand. Anything in the right hand symbolizes power. And there's God on his throne with the scroll in his right hand, and he's surrounded by these 24 elders, which represent the 12 apostles of the New Testament and the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament. And in the middle of all of this are the four living creatures that we heard about. Biblically, we learned in Sunday school this morning that the number four represents creation. So one of those four creatures is a lion. And that represents the wild animals of the world. And one of the creatures is an ox, and that symbolizes one of the tame animals of the world. And one of the creatures is an eagle, and that represents or symbolizes all the flying birds of the air. And one creature has a human face representing all of humanity. And if you think about it, that covers all of the breathing lives, living things of God's creation. We might wonder what's in that scroll. And it's described as the things that must soon take place. And here's an angel saying, "Who is worthy to open this scroll? Who has earned that right? Who deserves to do that?" And as John watches, he weeps because there is no one who steps forward and says, "I am worthy to do that." And he's afraid that death will be in charge of this world forever. But then one of the elders says to him, "Do not weep. The lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. He is able to break the seals and open the scroll." And John says, as he looked, there was the Lamb. There is Jesus on the throne, surrounded by those four living creatures and the 24 elders. There sits Jesus in the middle of this creation, of the things that he and God created together. And there he is in control of everything. In his death and resurrection, he defeated all the evils of the world. And now he has the power to open that scroll and reveal the future of those things that must come to pass. We'd like him to reveal everything so that we know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But in his wisdom, he doesn't reveal everything to us. He does reveal to us that he has triumphed over the world. He assures us that his people, that's us, that's you and me, we will be preserved spiritually on this earth. We are protected from harm and danger in the midst of a broken world. In this symbolic scene, we see the risen Jesus as the one who has in triumph, the one who is in control of this entire creation. Peter wasn't in control of his life. He was the klutzy, impetuous guy who was an ordinary fisherman. And yet when Jesus needed him the most, Peter failed and denied him 3 times. And yet Peter was transformed into the head of Christ's church on this earth. And Paul wasn't in control either. He was the one who persecuted Jesus' followers. And yet his life too was completely turned around. He was transformed from one who persecuted the church to one who spread the good news to the Gentiles. I don't know about you, but I have figured out by now that I'm not in control of my life, and I gather that you probably are not in control of your life either. And yet we are called children of God's kingdom. We are children of a kingdom that gives us a second and a third and a fourth, and chances ad infinitum. It is a kingdom in which the lost are found, and the losers are picked up from the wrestling mat of life and given a position on the team. This is a kingdom where all of the sins of Peter and Paul and you and me are all forgiven each and every day. A kingdom where we are daily renewed, redirected, and re-equipped. And for us, this is a message of hope. Neither we nor the state of Pennsylvania is really in control of anything. But this Jesus, this Lion of the tribe of Judah, this root of David, the Jesus who lived a perfect life, has triumphed over this world, and he is in control. He was in control of Peter's life and Paul's life back then. He's in control of your life and my life today. The result is that, like Peter and Paul, we are all transformed. We too are transformed from sinner to saint each and every day. We are transformed from lost in sin to found in the myriads of those singing praises to God on his throne. It is true that we live today, day by day, in a world where we are not in control. But we are reminded that Jesus, who loves us, is in control. That this life is temporary along with its pain and suffering. And we are reminded that we too can do everything through him who gives us the strength, as Paul says in Philippians. Jesus is in control. We are reminded that he walks with us every day. He has his arm around us. He holds us by the hand. He offers comfort and guidance each step of the way through this life. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.